taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Have you been red-pilled? Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. We're talking today not simply about being red-pilled, but why it's so important. And for those of you who may not be familiar with the term or its background, it comes from a movie, a sci-fi movie known as The Matrix. Now, at the time this red-pilling takes place, the protagonist, a character named Neo, knows there's something wrong. He's heard about this thing called The Matrix, but he doesn't really understand what it is or why it's important. And one of the supporting characters, named Morpheus, offers Neo a choice. Take the blue pill, go back to sleep, and continue living your life as you have before, however you see fit. Don't worry about it. Take the red pill, find out the truth. Find out just how crazy things are, just as he puts it, how far down the rabbit hole you can actually go. Now, this term has been adopted by those who've recognized that they're not getting all the information. And the idea of red pilling is someone who now is going to find the truth, good, bad, or ugly, but the search is for the truth. Now, why is this important? Well, the world today, especially in America and other Western nations, is in some ways not that dissimilar from the Matrix. See, the Matrix was a virtual reality where mankind was basically living in this virtual world made up by machines so that they could be used as a source of power. Now, I'm not saying we're living in virtual reality, but I find it very interesting. The more and more I look at the news and the happenings, how much we live our lives as if we were in a virtual reality. What do I mean? For the last, 14, 16 months, we've been dealing with this thing called COVID-19. And the one thing that has pretty much been constant is that the news about the disease seems to not hold up once it's investigated. Now, why is that? Well, like many things, when the disease first hit, scientists used models to try and figure out what would happen. Now, that sounds very scientific, very technical. Can I tell you what a model is? A model is a guess. At least it starts out that way. Now, we all have firsthand experience with dealing with models, because all of us have watched a weather forecast. Whether you watch it on the news, read it in the paper, or use an app on your phone, those weather forecasts come out of the National Weather Service, or at least that's where they start, where a supercomputer, originally built by IBM, has a model of our weather. It gathers data from sensors around the world, and using this model, attempts to anticipate what the weather is going to be like. Now, all of us have done it. We've all been out on what the forecast said was going to be a lovely day, only to be caught in the rain. Because models aren't perfect. See, models work by starting with assumptions, guesses. And the way we're supposed to use models is we start with a bunch of assumptions and we build them either into a mathematical model or a computerized model, and then we run it against the data and see if the outcome of the model matches the real world. So if you've been around as long as I have, you remember when you didn't trust a weather forecast because if it was more than 5 minutes out, Yes, a 50-50, maybe a 70-30 chance of it being wrong. But you see, as they learned about this, they were able to update the model to get it to more accurately reflect real life. That is supposed to be the goal of models. You start off with a theory, you test it, you modify the model so that it more accurately predicts real life. But we've lost that. Americans, in many cases, have rejected that very idea, which leads me to the COVID-19. See, when they first heard about COVID-19, they had these basic models about how viruses and other diseases spread in different communities and around the world. But they have to start with a bunch of assumptions. How contagious is the disease? How deadly is the disease? How easily does it will it transfer? Is it through the air? Is it through touch? Is it through other surfaces? There's all these assumptions that have to get plugged into the model. Now, when they plugged these assumptions into the COVID-19 model, they scared the crap out of everybody. There's like, oh my God, there's going to be millions dead in America. I think at one point they were talking about 10 million dead. They also looked at these models and said, you know what? We think certain things like masks might help. Guess what? That was an assumption put into a model. We think lockdowns will help. That was another assumption put into another model, another part of the model. And they basically scared everybody into compliance. They said, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, because that's what the model said, right? For 2 weeks, we can keep this under control so that we don't overwhelm the healthcare environment. But you see, then something interesting happened. The model's predictions turned out to be wrong. They didn't match real world. They didn't match the truth. In other words, the assumptions turned out to be wrong. False. Now, in a sane society, we would have looked at that and said, you know what? You've been wrong so far. How about we kind of dial everything back a little bit? But you see, now we have people that have used this hysteria to gain power and further compromise the Constitution. What do I mean? The models say we all have to wear masks. Forget the fact that the Fifth Amendment says you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. This is an emergency, folks. You have to stay locked indoors. Your business is not essential. And it was all based on bad data. Again, I spent 30 years in IT. When I first started, we had this saying, garbage in, garbage out. But even today, we are seeing people trusting models that have been proven false. I don't mean a little bit false. I mean dead wrong. The model said that when Florida and Texas lightened, pulled back on their lockdowns and their mask mandates, that cases and deaths would skyrocket. They'd spike. And they didn't. Is that because there are other factors that the model hasn't taken into consideration? Or was it actually the masking and the lockdowns that helped spread the virus? Wait, I thought lockdowns were supposed to stop spreading the virus. Well, when you put people into a confined area, viruses spread better. This is not the first example of that. How many of you have been told that by 2020, we would all be drowned? New York City and Florida would be underwater because of global warming, or as I like to call it today, climate change. See, they plugged a bunch of data into models. They plugged a bunch of assumptions into these models and said, oh my God, we're all going to die, and use that as justification to destroy your rights, to take your money, your liberty, your future. And then we find out they're horribly wrong. Now, this should have been a surprise to no one. See, now, I've been around a while. I remember when climate change was originally called global warming, and before that, it was called global cooling. That's right. When I was young, they were talking about spreading carbon powder and coal dust and stuff over the ice caps to get them to melt. That was back in the 1970s. They were talking about how do we inject CO2 into the air so that the Earth remains warmer. And then just a couple of decades later, oh my God, we're all going to die because a new model tells us we're not going to freeze to death, we're going to boil to death. And that model has been proven just as bad. Yet we still listen to this. Now, what does this have to do with the Matrix and a virtual reality? See, I don't believe we're living in a virtual reality. But we're living in the unreality of supposed experts. Experts that are using models that are flawed at best, false at worst. And they're using that to manipulate the American people, to violate the Constitution, it's justification to violate the Constitution, to deprive you of your rights, to gain power and control in violation of the supreme law of the land. And for most Americans, when it comes to this, they are ignorant and apathetic. They don't know. They don't care. They're more interested about what's going on with the Kardashians or The Bachelor or some other reality program than they are the future for their children. It's sad to say, but it's also true. But more and more, as information has come out to find out just how wrong these so-called experts were on climate science, how wrong the experts have been with the novel coronavirus and COVID-19, I believe there are some people that are starting to wake up. They're waking up to the possibility that maybe things aren't exactly what they've been told. Maybe, just maybe, they'd be open to taking the red pill. So I wanted to take some time today and look at some of the ways you are being deceived into believing a reality that does not exist. How the magician is showing you what they want you to see while they're doing the trick in the other hand. And one of the most prolific ways of doing that is a thing called doublespeak. In George Orwell's book, 1984, the government used a process of doublespeak to help control the population. You see, there are certain phrases, certain terms that we use that can either motivate us positively or negatively. For example, I'm reading an article from the American Thinker by a Larry Cesare. I hope I got that right. If not, I'm sorry. And he looks at terms. He is a retired clinical psychologist, and he is fascinated by words, by how the language is used. Now, for those of you who've been following the Constitution study a while, you know that I'm very particular, not only about words, but about their definition. I like to go back as close as I can to the time frame of the writing in order to get the best understanding. So, for example, when I do my constitutional research, I use Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. Why? Noah Webster was a contemporary of the founding fathers, of the framers of the Constitution. In fact, Alexander Hamilton invited him to be an editor for the Federalist Papers. So I think even though it was written several years later, his dictionary, his collection of definitions would really well describe what we would see at that time in American history. Now, while I like Mr. Webster's 1828 dictionary, for today's episode, I'm going to be using Merriam-Webster.com, Merriam-Webster.com, because we're talking about modern usage of language. So here we have Mr. Cesari, I hope I get this right, and the words he picked out for this concept of doublespeak. For example, look at the term liberal. Now, liberal is defined as one who is open-minded or not strict in the observation of orthodox, traditional, or established forms or ways. Now, compare that to the political liberals today. Are they open-minded? Not hardly. Their minds are locked up shut. You will follow the orthodoxy or you will be punished. You'll be deplatformed. You'll be vilified. You'll be denied employment. You want to find the most illiberal people? Find someone who claims to be a liberal. How about progressive? Progress. Progress sounds good, doesn't it? Except, look at the plans they're putting in place. Judging people by the color of their skin. Or political systems like socialism and Marxism that have been failures in the past. See, they're not trying to implement a progress. They're actually being regressive. They're talking about taking us back to a time when people were judged by the color of their skin and when people believed that socialism and Marxism actually worked. He talks about inclusiveness and diversity. When you look at it, okay, it's inclusiveness and diversity of the color of skin, but you know what isn't included in inclusiveness? People who disagree. A diversity of ideas is anathema to those who claim inclusiveness and diversity. We talk about justice, but you know what? We don't actually implement justice. We implement retribution. Justice is defined as the maintenance or administration of what is just, especially by the impartial adjustment of conflicting claims or the assessment of merited rewards or punishments. Take, for example, Derek Chauvin. The George Floyd incident. Now, the person who was accused of illegally taking the life of George Floyd was charged, tried, convicted, and is being punished. Yet, people are still calling for justice for George Floyd. I thought we just had that. Look at the words socialist. We're led to believe that socialism leads to a utopia, forgetting that every country that has ever implemented socialism has led to tyranny, misery, and death on a scale unheard of before. People go apoplectic when you talk about the Holocaust and the killing of 6 million Jews. How about the 50 million that were killed under Mao? The 60 million killed under Stalin. The 10 million killed under Pol Pot. You know, the other day people were complaining that the head of BLM, who is a self-avowed Marxist, actually took millions of dollars to buy property. And they said, how hypocritical. I thought Marxism and socialism about equality. Well, except no, she's doing exactly what every Marxist leader has ever done, get rich on the backs of those they're supposed to be helping. Even the term Democrat is false. Look at the Democrat Party. Are they looking for equality? Are they looking for a democratic process? No, they're looking to manipulate the democratic process. They wish to implement tools that prevent the people expressing themselves. Forget the fact that America isn't a democracy. But even the democratic process is undemocratic. Just look at the reports that how when Hillary Clinton won the nomination, it was because the Democratic Party manipulated the will of the people. They overrode the will of the people. Same thing with Joe Biden's nomination. We're going to ignore the democratic process to get what we want. Oh, but there's more. Because this doublespeak leads us into other examples, other situations where what we are told is the exact opposite of the truth. For example, H.R. 1, the For the People Act, which is supposed to be, you know, it's for the American people to make elections safer, except everything that it does makes elections easier to cheat, harder to find when the cheating has happened. In other words, it actually takes the right away from the people. Or the Equality Act, which makes things completely unequal. If you are a biological female and you wish to shower with only other biological females, you're not allowed to. That would be unequal. You must allow a biological male to shower with you because he feels like it. You must give up your equal shot at a scholarship or a championship in sports because somebody feels like it. The American Rescue Plan that allocated $1.9 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars, but only about 10% of it actually went towards rescuing the American people. Only about 10% went to COVID relief. Most of it went to social welfare. Much of it went to bail out failed democratically controlled states. Or the American Jobs Plan that would take $2.25 trillion, supposedly spent on infrastructure, but only 5% would actually go to what most people consider infrastructure. Most of it would go into the Green New Deal. The American Families Act, which is nothing more than a government-approved propaganda campaign to further turn the U.S. education system into an indoctrination center, not of freedom and liberty, but indoctrinating you into servitude, indoctrinating our children into racism and servitude. See, we need to stop reacting to the headlines, to the titles, because more often than not, it seems they're a lie. I can't tell you how many times I found an article that I thought would be interesting, only to research it and find out not only does the title completely misrepresent what actually happened, it even misrepresents what's in the article itself. This is what happens when we allow reality to be manipulated, when we allow models to supersede reality, when we allow doublespeak to replace the truth. Even the idea of truth is becoming a scarce entity in our nation. And this is not simply academic rhetoric. This has very, very serious consequences. And I want to take some time and look at and discuss some of those consequences. Because I keep going back to what the Constitution actually says. And when I look at what the Constitution actually says, not what some doublespeak, quote-unquote, expert wants me to believe. I've taken the red pill. I've told you here before, I don't trust the media. If the media tells me the sky is blue, I go out and double check. I don't trust a politician. How can you tell when a politician's lying to you? Their lips are moving. And it starts with this idea, again, of red pilling. And I'm not talking about physically taking a red pill. This idea of finally recognizing that we are being lied to and that it is important that we go and find not only the truth for ourselves, but that we find and vet people to set before we trust them. And then even after we trust them, we continue to vet them to make sure that it's true. And I ask you to do the same thing. Do the same thing to me. I have people come to me all the time claiming I've made a mistake, that I have been wrong here. And I listen and I read every one of them. And I double check. Now, I've been found incorrect in a couple of small things, but for the most part, I find that I go back to the facts, and the facts that I have are correct, and therefore my point of view is correct. But I still want you to double check the facts that I put out, because I'm much more interested in finding the truth than in being correct. Now, before we head off to break, I want to talk about a new sponsor here at the Constitution Study called Healthy Cell. Now, I don't know about you. When I was a kid, my mother used to take a handful of vitamins every morning. It got to be a family joke. And if you're like me, you know, the idea of taking a handful of pills is not a lot of fun, but our diets are not as good as they used to be. We don't get all the vitamins and minerals that we need to maintain a healthy body, for our cells to work and function properly. And if there's one thing that we need through this whole pandemic, is a healthy immune system. Now, I've been taking the Immune Super Boost now for a while, and I actually enjoy it. I feel good. But the other thing is, I'm not taking a handful of pills. It's a simple gel shot. It's, you know, not a Jell-O shot. No, that's something completely different. But it's a simple gel shot without taking pills to get the vitamins, the minerals, the things that your body needs to remain healthy. And if there's one thing, as I said, we need with this COVID-19 is a healthy immune system. So head over to healthycell.com/outloud, because all of our Outloud listeners get 20% off their order. So that's right, head to healthycell.com/outloud and find out how you can get the vitamins and minerals you need without having to swallow all those pills. And we'll be right back after this break.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
There was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutloud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We are talking about red pilling. We're talking about seeing beyond the accepted truths to the real truth. Now, if you put your history cap on, I don't know what your history teachers were like. Mine were kind of hit and miss. But there are several people that I remembered from history, and I had to go looking these up because these were situations where scientists argued against the settled science. How many of you heard that, right? Global warming is settled science. It's going to happen. Or, you know, the wearing of masks is settled science. Except science, true science, is never settled. And the dangers of orthodoxy over science have been shown for decades. I picked out a few examples here. I did a little searching. I found several. One is this gentleman, Ignaz Semmelweis. Probably mispronouncing that terribly. See, back in 1847, he was an obstetrician, and he made an interesting observation. He said that if doctors washed their hands before examining or treating new patients, the mortality rate for women in birth went down. Now, he didn't know why this was the case. He simply recognized that if doctors washed their hands before treating another patient, the likelihood of women dying in childbirth went down. But nobody believed him. Doctors refused to accept that study, his observations. And I wonder how many people died because the orthodoxy, the settled science, could not be disrupted because someone found something that didn't fit. Actually, there's a whole series of scientists, starting with Copernicus, who believed that the Earth revolved around the sun. But you see, most people didn't believe it. Most people believed the Earth was the center of the universe because, well, that was a settled science. That was orthodoxy. Now, Kepler died in the 1500s. Just a few years later, he died in 1543. In 1571, Johannes Kepler was born, and shortly thereafter, he took it a step farther. He says, not only does the Earth revolve around the sun, but that the planets revolve around the sun, with other bodies revolving around them. See, he looked at the evidence and said, you know what? This doesn't make sense unless the Earth revolves around the sun. But you see, Kepler's work was ignored. It was vilified because it wasn't the settled science. Galileo as well, probably one of the most famous of who was punished for actually doing science, for having a theory, for hypothesizing, for testing it, and then adjusting his theory to match the outcome. Yet today, we're discussing things like COVID-19 and climate change, where the hypothesis tests have failed. And rather than adjusting the hypothesis, we're told the science is settled. You must have got it wrong. This is what leads to the situations of a Copernicus. Now, interesting enough, many of you probably heard of the author, Michael Crichton, right? He wrote Jurassic Park and many others. He also has a medical degree from Harvard. And he was giving a speech and he was talking about the politicization of science. How an unscientific approach to the pandemic or to climate change is leading us to ruin. How doctors who make unpopular observations are punished when they bring facts and data that challenges the orthodoxy. they're punished. For example, Stephen Koonin, former Undersecretary of Science during the Obama administration. He wrote a book in which he writes, "The science is insufficient to make useful projections about how the climate will change over the coming decades, much less what effect our actions will have on it." He says, science. There's not enough data there. We don't know all that we need to know. And that can be proven by the fact that the models are so wrong. Yet what happens? He is, not only is his work dismissed, but he gets pilloried in the media by people who have no clue what he's talking about. They don't have the scientific background, but they have media. Whether it's Al Gore or other authors like Mark Mills, who could not accept an outcome, a viewpoint other than the orthodoxy. If you do not follow the religion of climate change, you're referred to as a climate denier. Not that you question all the information, not that you look and find the number of times the data has been manipulated, not the number of times you find that the models have been manipulated. You're considered a climate denier. Now do you recognize why I refer to the orthodoxy? This is not science. This is religion. This is a faith-based approach to our future. Faith not in an all-powerful being, not even faith in the observable and testable sciences, but faith in a theory that has yet to be proven. And the same thing that has cost us billions and trillions of dollars and countless jobs that are looking to spend trillions of dollars to remake not only our economy, but our society under the Green New Deal for a climate change that there is no scientific evidence to prove. The quote-unquote scientific evidence is our models that have been proven false. But you see, if you don't bow, if you don't genuflect to the God of climate change, you too will be ostracized. Just another example of where models and presuppositions take us from dealing with facts and reality. Ignore the facts that are inconvenient. Do you want to know how we end up with a 16-month pandemic reaction when the evidence shows that it is not effective? By worshiping experts rather than truth. The examples are numerous. I talked before about how going to a doctor's office, my wife and I, talking to a physician's assistant, when we were asked, did we get our COVID vaccine? I told her, no, I will not take an experimental drug for a disease I have a 99% chance of surviving. This lady, a very nice person, a medical professional, that in most cases I trust the life of my family with, was worshiping the experts rather than the data. Really, she goes 99%? I says, yes, according to the CDC. I looked at the CDC data. You worship Fauci, don't you? Look at the CDC data. The CDC data says, I have a 99, based on my age, my weight, my health background, I have a 99, if I catch COVID, I have a 99% chance of surviving it. The vaccine has been released under emergency use authorization. It has not gone through all the testing. Not that I trust the FDA testing. But people say it's been through its testing. No, it hasn't. Why? Because you've been listening to doublespeak. You've been listening to people lie to you and haven't bothered to find out the truth. Then I found a video up on the Daily Caller. And I found it very interesting. In the video, they're going around Washington, D.C. Now, remember, the CDC has updated their guidelines. It said, if you've been vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask outdoors. Yet people are wandering around New York or Washington, D.C. with masks. So they asked them, why? Now, I found it interesting how many people said, well, we think, yeah, we're vaccinated, but we think the CDC was premature. Well, okay, they're more than welcome to. The CDC isn't God. We didn't elect them king. But that's okay. What I find less okay are the number of people who said they're wearing it so that other people wouldn't get the idea it's okay to go around without a mask. Masks are no longer about medical care. I mean, let's face it. A mask, a cloth mask, a paper mask is not going to stop a virus. The pores in most of these masks are, what, hundreds of microns, yet the coronavirus is something like 0.0015 microns. That virus is going right through that mask, either direction. No problem, going right through. Now, about the only thing the mask does do is it keeps you, if you sneeze on people, instead of a big blob of snot or a big blob of spit, you're going to get a bunch of little ones. It'll catch some of it, but it'll aerosolize the rest, making it even easier for you to breathe in. And that's the sad thing about facts. They don't care about your opinions. And that's the sad thing about the virus. It doesn't care about your opinions either. Yet we have people out here wearing masks because they don't want other people to think it's okay to go around without a mask. Is that science? Or is that following an orthodoxy? The other thing I found interesting is how many people wore their masks because they were afraid other people weren't vaccinated. Now, the purpose of a vaccination is to inoculate yourself, is to train your body to recognize something bad and to defend itself. If you're vaccinated, what do you care if someone else wears a mask? As I've already pointed out, that mask isn't going to help you if they sneeze on you. That mask isn't going to prevent the virus from existing on surfaces. And if you're already have immunity, what do you care? But several people said, well, they're not sure the vaccine's effective. So wait a second. You're telling me you took an experimental vaccine that you weren't sure was effective? Because someone who has been wrong time and time and time again told you to? Sounds like a blue-pilled person to me. Then there were the people that wanted people branded. They wanted some way to identify that they've been vaccinated. You know, kind of like they put yellow Stars of David on the Jews in Nazi Germany. Or kind of how in the Soviet Union and even today in North Korea and in Soviet and communist China, if you're a member of the party, you get a pin. So you can be identified as being okay. Well, wait a second. I'm sorry. I thought you got the vaccine so that you could protect yourself. Why do you care if the other person's not vaccinated? And if you see somebody without a mask and you don't want to get close to them, walk around them. It's called living in a society, folks. There was even a couple of guys who did it because they thought at businesses people should wear them. again, what happened to science? What happened to, by the way, we're talking to people who are wearing their masks outdoors. Outdoors, where studies and science have shown that the virus doesn't live very long. Outdoors. Where if someone does sneeze, there's a breeze that kind of blows the virus away, dissipates it. So it's so, there's a concentration so small that it can't make you sick. I look at these masks and these are no longer medical devices. Granted, there were some people who were not fully vaccinated, so they decided to wear a mask. To me, that's more the placebo effect. Again, simple science, a virus can pass through a mask. But these masks have become now political statements. They are proof of your servitude. Now, the sad thing is, there are probably some people who should wear masks, either because of their age or their overall health, not simply from coronavirus, but from the general stuff that exists. But now they're looked at as serfs, as if they've bowed down to government because some government bureaucrat, in violation of the basic tenets of the scientific process, has told you to do this. They've been blue-pilled. Now, just as people like Simowitz had the right idea. He said, hey, doctors should wash their hands before treating patients. But he was ignored, and people died. We have people walking around with masks thinking it'll protect them, when all the evidence says, not so much. We have states that have lifted these draconian measures, and their number of cases go down. But you see, all these people are terrified. They're afraid of a virus. And the vast majority of people in those videos stood a 98% plus chance of surviving if they actually got the virus. 98%. I'm saddened. I'm saddened that logic and ration and liberty and science, real science, true science, science that doesn't give a crap about your politics, about your worldview, about your preferences, is disappearing in America. When I'm looked at askance for actually looking at the data and saying, you know what? I stand a 99% chance of beating this bug. Come on, bring it on. That we have been so educated into imbecility that we take everything we're told and never bother to check out to see if it's true, that we live with doublespeak, that a pandemic, while it traveled the world, has not been a pandemic here. The impact has not been, the impact on America from COVID-19 has not been the virus. It's been the government. From the fool Fauci, who can't make up his mind whether masks are good or not, who couldn't give someone a straight answer if his life depended on it, at least from what I've seen, who ignores facts, who ignores science, who ignores the basic tenets of virology, but is lifted up as if he is God's own messenger. I've actually seen people, if not physically bowing, living their lives based on what a bureaucrat with a medical license tells you to do. I've seen way too many Americans argue for legislation because the title was good. And then they're shocked to find out that it's something different. How many Americans were begging for their federal checks? I got a letter in the mail saying, hey, we're going to send you money. I'm not interested in your slave wages. I'm not interested in your bribe. I'm not interested in living in your lack of reality. I want facts. I want data. Now, some of you may be asking what this has to do with the Constitution. Well, I want to wrap it up with this. You see, the Constitution is ink on parchment. It's words on paper, and those words mean exactly what they say. So whether it's the person commenting on my post or the President of the United States, sorry, the Second Amendment is absolute. Period. End of story. You shall not be, you know, your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. If you do so, you are committing a crime. You shall not come after our lives, our liberty, or our property without due process of law. Anything else is a crime. Your right to express yourself, to speak, to print, to exercise your religion shall not be abridged. Shall not. I don't care if the Supreme Court, if nine nincompoops in black robes tell you that the government, if they've got a good reason, can infringe on your rights. The answer is no. The Constitution says no. And I will not listen to your doublespeak. That is the danger of living in the Matrix. That's the danger of living under the blue pill. That you believe that the Supreme Court has the authority to overturn law is a lie. That you believe the federal government can come up with an excuse to violate your rights is a lie. But just as the emperor who had no clothes lived under the lie that he was wearing fine clothes, he had been told by the experts that he was wearing the finest clothes in the land, and he believed it, and everyone else believed it, until some kid stood up and said, "That dude is naked." It's about time more American people stand up and saying, those people are lying. That is a lie. And we're going to stand up for the truth. So when someone tells me that the Constitution isn't absolute, I know they've been blue-pilled. That is a lie. When someone tells me the federal government has the authority to tell the states what to do in domestic affairs, that is a lie. When someone tells me Congress can pass any law as long as they think it's for the general welfare of the United States, that is a lie. Step number one, take the red pill. Learn to check out and learn for yourself. Learn to find the truth. Step two, share that truth with others. If you want more, do me a favor. Head to my website, constitutionstudy.com. You'll find other articles I've written and videos and audio that I've written about many of these lies. Begin to take that red pill. You can also head to constitutionscholars.com. Find other people who are studying what the Constitution actually says, not what the nine nincompoops in black robes say. The truth, as they said, as the X-Files you say, is out there. And it's at our fingertips. We just need to be willing to question what we're being told. To look for actual proof and evidence. Actual evidence. Not what some expert said, not what some model spits out. Facts and evidence. And when a small number of the American people start pointing that the emperor has no clothes, maybe we can wake up some more. As I understand it, only about 3% of the colonists actually fought for liberty. It doesn't take the majority to prove the truth. Truth doesn't exist by consensus. Science doesn't work by consensus. Truth, science, and the Constitution work by facts. And those facts, again, are readily available. We just have to open our eyes and look for them. So before I go, I want to remind you, do me a favor, head to AmericaOutloud.com. Make it your daily stop for news and information and happenings, for other people who have been red-pilled, who know and were willing to follow the truth. It's important that we do our part, that we find these stories, that we share them, the articles, the videos, the podcasts, so that other people can live in truth and that we can secure the future of the American Republic. And please join me next time on the Constitution Study.
Stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day.